Dr. Rona Epstein joins us, a leading expert on food addiction and recovery and a regular speaker with the American Association of Christian Counselors. Dr. Epstein, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You know, I know one of your specialties is addiction, specifically food addiction. And I want to jump in right there because, you know, I think often we have loved ones that have, you know, other addictions, whether it's a gambling addiction, an alcohol or drug addiction, or a sex addiction or pornography addiction. And I get the feeling food addictions are, I don't know, somehow the stigma isn't there, that is with other addictions, but it's, just like any addiction, and anything, God wouldn't want us to, you know, I mean, the other things a lot of the other things I mentioned, you know, in the right setting are God designed. And so is eating.
Sure.
But I guess I'm having a hard time articulating what I'm trying to say, but people don't realize what a serious issue, that this can be. Maybe you can better articulate where I was headed here, in ways of, the seriousness of, treatment that's needed. I mean, in these other areas, you know, when people realize that they have an addiction and can admit they have an addiction, they go get help. And this is an area that, I just feel like isn't as often addressed.
Yes. Well, you hit that right on the nose. And I think that's why there's a lot of shame involved with people who struggle behind closed doors in secret, hiding and sneaking, and, you know, losing control of their eating. You know, people tend to joke about it. I think what we focus on and what we're worried about is our weight. And that's where, you know, our attention goes. Everybody's trying to go lose weight. We don't like our weight problem, but we're really not looking at the complication of our eating problem and food obsession and weight obsession and how it's robbing our lives. The truth is, people who really have, when we talk about food addiction, I want to say there's multiple different types of eating disorders, right? You've got people who restrict their food. You've got people who are chronic dieters. You've got people who binge eat and compulsively eat. When we talk about food addiction, we're talking about people who are really like drug addicts or heroin addicts or alcoholics with food. We're talking about people who are really out of control and, you know, just obsessed. And it's like a 24/7 problem. We're not talking about like a little weight problem or a little, overeating problem. We're talking about a bondage. You know, it's bondage. It's where you wake up thinking about it and it's on your mind all day. You're like, your brain's hijacked. And, you know, you just can't stop. There's no off button. You know what I'm saying? You start eating.
You know, I recently saw a meme that helped me to understand addiction maybe better than ever before, because like a lot of us, I spend way too much time, with a device, you know, with my phone. And they said, you want to know what addiction's like? Put down your phone. You know, that feeling you just got, that's addiction. Mm-hmm. So it's that, you mentioned it, it's an obsession with an activity or a thing.
That's right. And when a person's in that, they don't want to be doing it. It's not like fun anymore, right? It's for normal people. Oh, it's nice. Let's have a little dessert. Let's go get a little ice cream and it's fun and everybody's enjoying it. But for a person who's in bondage, the fun is gone. It's like now instead, it's like you're drowning your feelings in the dark. And you are, you know, there's just shame and you just want to stop, but you can't. And what the consequences are so much greater than a weight problem. It starts to be like steal your ability to function, being, brain fog, messing up at work, not showing up for activities or social engagements. It really can affect every area of your life.
Well,
So.
Dr. Epstein, often on this show, we'll talk about issues in the community. What's going on in the roundhouse of the legislation in Santa Fe, or what's happening, in the city council, or and often these political conversations come back to, listen, we can talk about practical ways to fix things, and I'm trying to equate this to food addiction, whether it's you're talking about the weight gain or the body image, or and talk about practical way. There are practical steps you can do to fix things, but whether it's politics and issues or areas in health where we're not getting enough exercise or eating right, there's practical things. But really, ultimately, the answer to all of these things is Jesus. And if we go to the Bible and live a life that he's designed for us, now listen, he makes it clear that when you do that, there's going to be trials. It's not going to be, smiles and sunshine all the time. However, he does provide answers in his word. And in this area of food addiction, that is also the case. There is faith-based opportunity to go get assistance for this kind of addiction. And as I mentioned at the top of our interview, you're a leading expert on food addiction recovery, and people can find out more about that at drrona.com, and your work with the American Association of Christian Counselors. Our listeners can also find out more at aacc.net. But let me go back to where I was headed there. Jesus is the answer. There's ways to get assistance that people just maybe aren't considering. They're trying to do it in a way that doesn't really have the power that he makes available to us.
Well, it's true. I think people don't, well, there are things people need to learn. And first of all, I don't think, let me just say, I 100% agree that the ultimate answer is found in our relationship with the Lord, that his love is what we really are looking for when we're scrolling our phones and, with all the things that we're doing that are addictive. It's like we're trying to fill a void that really God can only fill, right? And
Amen.
that's the simplest form. I mean, I think it's in the world that we live in, it's very easy to, just be looking for escape from pain, and we don't really. It's challenging to go right to the Lord, or, when it hurts, or when we don't really know what to do when we have sadness or grief or anger or fear or boredom or all the feelings that I think addictive behavior kind of comes in to solve emotional problems, pain,
Yeah,
and.
and I don't want to be misunderstood either. I wasn't going to in the same way I wouldn't go to a name it claim it for a lot of other things. I wouldn't in this area as well. But the strength that we need to get through issues like this, he can provide, and
He can.
he does give us a brain, and he's the one who invented science. So he's the one that is, through people who've been educated like yourself and others at the American Association of Christian Counselors, you can find the help you need. And actually, maybe we could go there a little bit too. When it comes to, mental issues, I think there's a stigma there in the Christian community as well. But we're oft reminded in the Word of God. Listen, there were plenty of prophets that dealt with mental issues, and we're human, but he's given us the intelligence, and he's given us things that he's literally said in his word to combat any of these addictions.
It's true. He has. If we are willing to go to the word for the solution. I think the thing is when with regards to addiction, you have to understand, like with food, for example. If you don't understand, like I had a sugar addiction. Okay. I've been in recovery for over 40 years. And I didn't understand. I didn't understand what was happening to me. I didn't understand that those Oreos were like heroin. I didn't know that. No one ever gave that information to me. Today, we have science that helps us understand that actually sugar and refined carbohydrates are like alcohol and heroin. And, for people that it's hard, the reason you can't stop is not just because you don't have a strong enough spiritual life, but because those foods are actually addictive. They are made in a way that once you start eating them, there's something that happens in the brain that makes a person want more and more and more. So the answer, yes, is spiritual, but you have to understand the physiologic. Like we understand that alcohol is addictive, right? So when we warn people, you need to understand when you're, a kid going into high school or college, you help people understand to the dangers that, alcohol can be addictive, especially if it's in your family, right? And so being able to understand, like I understand that for me, I can't eat Oreos because I don't have an off button when it comes to Oreos. So if I want to turn to Jesus, I better not eat any Oreos because if I start eating Oreos, I'm never going to make it to God. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the word of God has the answer for me. But once I start eating Oreos, I'll never get there. I'll never get to God because the Oreos will block the way.
Well, listen, we're up against the break. Can you stay with us? I'd love to come back. You just wrote a book, Hope and Healing for Food Addiction, A Guide to Holistic Recovery. I'd like to walk through some of what people will find in this material provide that hope that you wrote about. But we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more with Dr. Rona Epstein right after this on ABQ Connect. We continue our conversation with Dr. Rona Epstein, a licensed psychologist, certified addiction counselor, and member of the American Association of Christian Counselors. The websites I gave in that first segment for the American Association of Christian Counselors, that is AACC.net. And Dr. Epstein's website is drrona.com. And thanks for staying with us through the break, Dr. Epstein. Really looking forward to giving some practical answers to those that are listening and really in need of help on issues they may have with food addiction.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here. I'm very grateful.
Well, as I mentioned when we went to the break, you wrote the book Hope and Healing for Food Addiction, A Guide to Holistic Recovery, and I'd welcome you to share any of the content from that. Off the air, we had a good conversation about, some of my own struggles, Dr. Epstein. In some ways, I continue to have struggles, possibly with food addiction, but in some ways, I feel really good about where I am mentally with dealing with the issues that I have, because I am sold on, not the quick answer to fix, not a fad diet, I'm more interested in lifestyle change and doing things for myself now, in what may be a long process, because putting on weight it can be a long process. And I've often said to people that I talk to about it, look, I'm trying to deal with it. It took time for it to come on. I'm fine with it taking time for it to come off, because that's probably the right way to make it happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think in the world that we live in, everybody's looking for quick fixes and magic cures. We've always been, right? If it wasn't surgery, or, you know, now it's the shots. And, I'm sure, you know, basically what I live with in my the people who come to see me, I mean, people just can't stand the weight. They just can't stand the way they feel. They feel like in a hurry, and they're disgusted with themselves, and they just feel like they have to get the weight off, and it makes them anxious to be in a larger body. And so then that drives them, instead of looking for a lifestyle change or a transformation, they look for a solution to hurry up and get the weight off. So they go for the surgery, or they go for the pills or the shots, and they don't go for the transformation. And, you know, unfortunately, what I've seen, and it's very painful to have a front row seat to people losing 100 pounds from surgery or some, you know, starvation diet that they went on, and then, you know, not understanding really the full nature of the problem, and not really ever going for a real change that, you know, when I think of a change, it's mind, body, and spirit. You know, some of these things that people are doing are really just trying to fix the body without fixing the reasons that you eat, and finding a real solution that is one that will be sustainable for a lifetime. And so then, you know, it's a devastating thing when you lose 100 pounds after weight loss surgery, and then the way compulsive and addictive eating works, you know, as soon as somebody hurts your feelings, you have a breakup, somebody dies, you know, a job loss, something sad, difficult, and then, you know, the eating problem returns. And there's, yeah, you know, or the addictive eating really isn't corrected. The person just finds new ways of getting that addictive fix with food, but it's just now, because they have a smaller stomach, they just have to do it in a different way. It's like they just change it. But addiction doesn't get fixed by surgery. Now the Ozempic and the new weight loss medications, they can do be helpful in terms of a tool, like for ending cravings and reducing appetite. But you know, that doesn't always, that doesn't fix the problem either. I've had people call me after losing 80 pounds on medication, and they're still not eating the right food. And then the insurance company cuts them off, or they aren't able to take the medicine, and then back comes all the 80 pounds. And then they call me saying, I guess I need real help,
Whether it's the drugs or, you know, let's go to something as simple as the word diet, and how that is understood. I think for most of my life, I'm on a diet meant I've changed, my overeating or what I was eating for a time, until I'm done with my diet. And instead of, you know, a deer's diet is grass and berries, and you know, that's its diet. Really, the word diet, if we can change the way we think about even that word, is it is a lifestyle. It's not a temporary, I'm doing this for a little while. What many of us need to do is find that diet that is going to cooperate with how God designed us to consume food, and to put things in us that agree with what he created.
Exactly. I'm all on board with that. So, and yes, and so you used the word lifestyle change, and that's exactly what I encourage. It's like, what, you know, when you make a plan, instead of hurrying up, and this is something I have to try to help people with, because like I said, I think the fear of being overweight leads us to this restriction and hurry up and get it off and do this sort of, you know, now I'm not eating real food, or I'm going on a fasting and thing, or I'm, you know, only doing these shakes or whatever. And you can get the weight off, but it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
And so the question I have for people is, can you know, is what you're doing something you can live on? Because if you can't, then you you're going to go off of it at some point, and then what's going to happen? So can you make a change that you can live with? And take, like you said, take your time and change your relationship with food so that you're not using food as a drug. You eat nourishing foods and you make sure that your meals get you what you need so that you don't be looking for junk food to, you know, if you eat healthy meals, and then you only eat your meals instead of eating for entertainment and drugging and numbing. And then, you know, we have to find healthy coping skills and healthy ways of managing the other reasons why we eat. And that's where, you know, you asked about the book. It's mind, body, and spirit. So you put your food in its right place, you know, cut part with the addictive foods and the addictive behavior with food, eat nourishing, healthy foods in a sustainable way, a way that you could eat for the rest of your life, not in a restriction diet mode. And then you have to get help for the coping stuff that you're using food to deal with, because.
Okay. That, I think you just hit on something very important. You have to get help.
Yes.
For the person who's listening, who got the operation or used the miracle drug, you know, and they're yelling at the radio, I did that. I did all those things you're saying, you know, really pray about avoiding. I was going to ask, what is the next step is help, and help implies not doing it alone.
Exactly.
What would you tell people? Where would they find the help that they need?
Well, there are many places to get help. And so there's, you know, people like myself who, you know, I do counseling, I have a coaching group, that I do these program, 15-week programs that people can come. It's biblically based, and you know, it's online, so people can come from all over, and we go through a program together that gets underneath the surface of the problem, and you know, really, you learn all the different tools and skills for how to kind of cope with all the underlying mess that leads us to eating, and really how to separate food and feelings, and how to trust God more with your life instead of using food. You know, that I have a great program called the Satisfied Experience. That's something that I, you know, it's a really life-changing program. But you know, there are free recovery groups. There's Christian-based life recovery, Bible studies, and 12-step programs that are either secular or biblically based that are for food, and I, you know, and counseling. But, you know, let me say this with food, because it's a 24/7 problem, you know, you can't, like you mentioned, if you had an alcohol or drug problem, usually people go to rehab, you know, you got to go away sometimes, you know, and I think people tend to think of food not like, sometimes people need to go to food rehab. Sometimes you need to, you know, I say, you know, if you're trying to change a big problem, you need a big solution. And so doing something a little more high gear in the beginning until you get into the right mind space, getting a lot of support, everyday support, until you have your transformation, and not being ashamed if that's what you need. If you're fighting a battle that goes on all day, then you need a strategy, and it may look like, you know, a counselor, a nutritionist, a therapy group, 12-step support groups, and all that in the beginning until you get strong in your conviction and you're clear how you're eating, and you're able to turn your life over to God instead of food. You know,
well, go ahead.
Yeah, it takes a bit of, it's a big change, because food's there all day long, kind of, you know, it's an all day long problem.
Yeah. And that's something else I've said before too. And where it is different with food is, you don't need to drink alcohol, you don't need to smoke, you don't need to look at pornography, you know, those things you don't need to survive. you need to eat to survive. And when you have a food addiction, it makes it a very unique issue. We've been visiting with Dr. Rona Epstein. She is a leading expert on food addiction recovery. Her website is drrona.com, drrona.com. Also, I mentioned the work she's done with the American Association of Christian Counselors. Dr. Rona, thank you for your time, and thank you for the sound counsel you've been able to give our listeners.
Oh, it's been a blessing to be with you. Thank you for having me.
All right, and thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.